Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RMN podcast. This is Liberty, Nessaya, and Deki, and we're going to be talking about a host of things relating to the site today. First on our list is a few of our feature games, and the first one on the list is Pengui.
Pengui is a little ice-sliding puzzle game by Matsui, and it's pretty short, about 1 or 2 hours long. You slide your little penguin avatar across the map, collecting little, I can't remember what they're called, but they're like coins almost. And you have to collect them all to advance to the next stage. There are some boss stages scattered throughout where if you contact one of the enemy sprites, you have to do the whole thing over again. Almost reminds me of Pac-Man, those little boss fights. They were pretty interesting. Nessie, I believe you played a little bit of it as well, didn't you?
Yeah, and I remember that he did custom graphics for it.
Yeah, visually it's a really cute game. You know, it's got the right color scheme. The penguin sprite is adorable. I mean, he did a really good job with that.
I think how many years did he take again? Penguin, was it a year or
so many years?
Couple years. Yeah, he kind of started and stopped. You know,
it started on Gaming World actually when he first showed off a few of his screens for it. It's come a long way since then, though.
Yeah, so he's been chipping away at it for a while.
Yeah, it's like, I was surprised at how long did it take, because it's like, you know, it's about a penguin.
That was June's feature game, and we'll be talking about it more at the end of the podcast during our interview with Matsui.
Our next feature game is Ill Will, and Nessie will be talking about that, won't you, Nessie?
Yeah, so Ill Will is a dungeon crawler with minimalist story elements, and it has a simplified design. So in the game, you're like this group of guys, friends, that haven't seen each other for a while now because they went on their own ways after they graduated or something like that. And then you control Will, as spoken by his default name, and he has a sick brother who can't walk, I think. And then he promised with his friends that they're going out and have fun, so he can have fun. And then, due to an accident, they suddenly get transported into the Circus of Hell in Dante's Inferno. So each stage is based on that particular story sort of thing, the levels. And then the gameplay is like, you get traces which you have to level up in order to learn, I think. And then once you learn them, you get almost all the skills. The game is actually fun for the first 2 levels for me. After that, my problem with it is mostly that it gets too repetitive, and then my other problem is that you have to play at a certain pattern for almost every enemy. So it just gets tiring.
I remember playing it when it first came out as a demo.
Demo.
Yeah, it was pretty good, the graphics and that. I didn't get too far into it.
Yeah, the game has this learning curve, and then when you get to another stage, the learning curve starts all over again because the enemies have different weaknesses and different strategies, so you have to discover that again. And then at the same time, your healing stations, they have charges, so you have to kill enemies at a certain amount so your healing stations would be 100% again, so you could heal fully. So it's like, it's a dungeon crawler with a rogue-like feel for me, except there's still permanent death. So it's like, oh my god, it's so hard.
Yeah, I never played the game myself. I mean, I followed it a little bit on RMN. Chaos has always been good at making battles and balancing, and I like the mapping a lot, and I also like the portraits, the face sets. I think you did those, right, Nessaya?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I like the style. It's anime, but it's not over the top. I like anime that doesn't have, you know, massively huge eyes.
Oh my god, those eyes.
They're like almost the size of the whole face.
Yeah, those can get a little weird, I think.
Yeah, Full Moon Wasagashi Day. Oh god.
The mapping looks pretty good. I mean, it's very tightly mapped. Most of the hallways seem to be like one tile, and it's very, I don't want to say random, organic, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think Ray did that. Happy, you know, the guy. But he kind of quit halfway, I think, and then some of the maps just were chaosified, I think. So they're not all the same quality, but most of the maps are pretty, though.
Yeah, and I think that comes from Happy's time working on Ascendance, the 2K3 game. If you look at the mapping style of Ill Will, it's very 2K3 inspired. Okay, so that pretty much covers Ill Will. think we should move on to some of the events that have been going on in RMN over the last few months, such as the Naga Demo Review Drive, which was a massive success.
I was very proud of that game page.
Yes, it's a fantastic game page. You have all the little badges and everything else.
I worked hard on that.
And it paid off because we had, let's see, I think we had over 60 reviews submitted, which is about 5 times more than we normally do in a given month.
Yeah, I think Kaz was one of those had so much reviews and Muin, something like that.
Yeah, think about 3 or 4 users each had like 10 reviews. They were like 50% of what we ended up getting, which was great.
I think they all wanted Cloud Strife. Was it the Soldier badge for 10 reviews or something like something like that?
It was nice to see so many reviews being shoved on the site.
I couldn't believe how many people were active during that event, because normally we're all lazy.
Yeah, there were more than 70 that I count here.
I was supposed to do a review, but I got so busy. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, I only ended up doing 2 reviews for that event. Epic fail on my part, but whatever.
It was nice to see a lot of newbies jumping into review. Like, we had people like Moonin and HCOS and, you know, all kinds of people who weren't normally seen on the site, and yet they just came out of nowhere and did a ton of reviews.
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, who is this Sarik? I never saw him before.
It's good to get feedback from users who are outside of the normal community. They can bring a fresh perspective into things, and that's great for the community, because sometimes feedback can get really stagnant if you have the same people reviewing games. They'll have set preferences, and then you'll end up with people tailoring their games to meet those preferences. And the raffle went well. We had Ankylo, Killer Wolf, Selenus, and Marcus as winners. And apparently Kentona liked the way we did the raffle, because he did the same thing with his little mini review event, the Torchlight 2 event last month.
Oh, I did. So that was it. Okay.
Yeah, he did the raffle in the same way we did, with the whole RPG Maker VX Ace eventing.
It's fun that non-RM people, like, normally we have RPG Maker people reviewing games, so it's like, yay, nice.
Mm. And we got awesome badges out of it.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy Tactics badges. Nobody ended up getting the really high-end one.
The Revealer of Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a few people with... Yeah, Kaz and Moonin won the 10-12 achievement. Nobody got Summoner of Words, I don't think. That was 13-15. Yeah.
Dark Knight.
but still, I mean, doing a dozen reviews in less than 6 weeks, that's 2 games a week. That's not a bad clip at all, you know? If we all reviewed 2 games a week, played and reviewed 2 games a week, we'd get every game on this site reviewed probably in less than a month. So that might be a mission for all of you in the future. We might try to review every game on RMN, so be ready for that, guys. Mwahaha.
The way it was set up was really quite clever, Deki. Good job.
Because
having a list of games to actually aim for first off and get rid of really helped people to know what needed doing, as opposed to just saying, oh, just grab a game and do it. That they had a list was probably easier for them, because they could pick the ones that hadn't already been done and just do those and know that they were contributing.
Yeah, and it also helps that we look like we have a goal. Like, oh, we have to review all these 61 games. So it's like, yeah, we're almost there. So I remember when we were almost done, we were like, oh my god, he's going to review the last one. And Solitaire came to the rescue.
Yeah, because we reviewed basically 50 of the 61 were all reviewed within the first week and a half. And it was those last dozen or so that nobody really wanted to review. And they were like, it was like pulling teeth to get those reviewed. Either the games were really long or they were very niche. You know, they weren't really catered for a wide variety of audiences.
Yeah.
So those games were stuck in the queue for weeks and weeks. And yeah, like you said, Solitaire came to the rescue on that last one, or one of the last ones.
Yeah, he was like, you're welcome. I was like, yay, Solitaire!
Yay! You can always rely on solitaire.
I have something to tell you, but I'll wait for a bit later.
Okay. So I think that pretty much covers the review drive. Any other last words about that?
We should do another one.
Oh, we will be doing another one, yeah.
Can it be a Final Fantasy Tactics team again?
Yeah, we could do Tactics.
You just want those badges.
I mean, yes, we could also do another Final Fantasy game, or we could just do Final Fantasy in general and have a variety of Final Fantasy badges or something like that.
We'll see.
So we'll have a badge for each game. You know, like Final Fantasy 1, then 2, then Alpha
3. It, we won't include 13, of course, because nobody likes 13 but me.
And 14 apparently is bombing, so let's not include that either.
Yes, 11 and 14 I don't really think we can include.
I'm just still thinking, like, which one is going to be the ultimate badge?
10-2!
Oh, God. Well, for the guys, the guys might like 10-2.
Oh, come on, I like
especially if it's Yuna's cleavage or something like that.
Yeah, the badge is like a boob shot.
We all know 10 will just be Lulu.
Oh my gosh.
Bouncy review drive, we can call it.
Boobs. Boob drive.
The boob drive.
Maybe all for the Halloween event games, maybe, probably.
Yeah, we'll do some brainstorming and figure out when we want to do the next one.
And then suddenly we can work on our games, and we'll be like, oh, I want to work on my game, but the events,
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no one has gone before.
So the next event was Befuddle Quest The Next Generation, which was a rather sudden appearance by Kentona. I remember one day the event page just popped up and it's all Star Trek-y and it looks awesome. I was jealous. And,
So was I.
One thing I got a note about this event is the turnout was small, but the quality of the puzzles was generally pretty good. It was more of a quality over quantity game.
It usually is with the befuddlement event. You get one or two iffy puzzles, and the rest of them are pretty decent, or terribly hard.
I remember that the befuddle quest started slow because everyone was so busy. And he was, and Kentona had to extend the deadline. And he was like, oh, come on, post your puzzles, people. And he thought he was going to be a failure, I think. And then suddenly, these puzzles started popping out. And I was like, whoa.
And then at the end, he ended up extending it because he ran out of time.
Yeah, it was so ironic.
But that happens a lot, actually, with the befuddles. It's happened a few times.
Oh, Kentona.
They always get done. Kentona always, you know, he can be relied upon to get it out there. Not so much Generica. Kentona, damn it, work on that.
You mean Generica The Next Generation?
Yes, that one.
Yes, that one's been in development hell for how many years now?
A while.
Well, he is a working dad, and he has kids.
He is.
He's got a second babby now.
Yay, babby too.
We gotta clear something up here. Is it a joke, babby instead of baby, or is that like a Canadian thing? Because I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was
probably
a joke.
Okay, because you know Canada's a very mysterious place, so who knows?
You said Kentona's a very mysterious place. I was gonna say, wait a minute. I wasn't aware he was a place.
Did I say Kentona? I meant Canada.
You said Canada. I heard wrong.
And I bet he's like. His veins are probably popping. He's so angry that we're saying Kentona and not Kentone.
I'm sorry.
Kentona sounds better because it reminds you of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentona Fried Chicken. There we go.
I'm going to say it flows better, but, you know.
So yeah, I ended up reviewing the game, and I had a very cheesy review. And
oh my god, that review was awesome. Beardless Riker is best Riker.
Yeah, Craze gave me a lot of trouble for mentioning Beardless Riker. I think Craze had... Both Craze and I have facial hair in real life, so he probably felt like I betrayed the collective or something.
I'm expecting a ninja to come crashing through the window any minute now.
So yeah, I thought it turned out really well. I mean, you had a lot of ambitious puzzles, especially Settlers of Canton, or however Cantona ended up pronouncing it. He likes to do that a lot. He puts his name in his things. Like, yeah. Kind of funny. But yeah, that was good. There were a lot. Kaz had a good puzzle. The ice snowball puzzle was really cool.
I liked the mirror puzzle. That was really good.
Yeah, that was good.
Where your shadow was moving around. Light switches?
Yes, the light switches by Jude, I believe.
I think the mirror one was Ratio.
Yes,
it was. It was.
Gibmaker had the... it was the puzzle where you have to take one step, then two steps, then three steps. And then he threw in another wrinkle and added a fourth and fifth step. And then you had to do the puzzle over again with that wrinkle. And it was just so brilliantly designed. Because it didn't get difficult until the last two maps, where you had to start planning out your moves ahead of time, almost like a game of chess, I thought. That was really well done.
At least there was no Sudoku this time.
Yes, I think this time around, the challenge was very well balanced. Nothing was too
arrows.
Easy or too hard.
Yeah.
You know what made me happy is that despite it being from RPG Maker 2003 to VX Ace, people still managed to submit so many good puzzles despite the engine that being that
it was a challenge.
Like compared to 2K3, we have suddenly have VX Ace, and I was like, oh, Ironman is stepping up.
Yeah, I also like how the visuals really got a facelift. I mean, the ship itself looked absolutely stunning. I loved the graphics. Spiffy, cool, yeah. I think this was the best Befuddle Quest game of the bunch, I think.
Ooh, I wouldn't say that. But it came close.
Which one is your opinion of the best?
One of the first. Oh. I rather like them. The time travel one, I couldn't get past the dinosaur chase.
Zack to the Future? Yeah, that one.
Yes, Zack to the Future.
Yeah,
that was one, five.
The problem with that one, there were too many challenging puzzles, I think. Some of the puzzles were just way too involved and difficult, I think, in that one.
Well, we had in the first couple, we had this thing where you could skip a challenge, and I think we were supposed to put it, well, Cantona was putting it in the others, but somehow it didn't flip. Yeah.
Or that might have been evolved into the whole currency thing. You know how the newer Befuddle Quest games, you have a currency where, you know, after each puzzle you get a certain amount based on the difficulty? And that way it works out so that if you do a couple of the really hard ones, you can skip most of the easy ones.
And the thing is that if you get stuck in one of the hard ones and
you're
you say...
screwed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Dinosaur Chase. But they're always a lot of fun.
Yeah, and also the other one is that the gameplay is brilliantly designed. It's very well done.
The Befuddle Quest Next Generation page, yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I was like, oh, Cantona, wow.
Yeah, it looks exactly like a terminal in Star Trek The Next Generation. I mean, exactly.
It was... Yeah. My jaw dropped.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, wow, Cantona designed this? Wow.
Yeah, if you take a look at this and then watch an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, you would think it was taken right from the show. He just did a really good job emulating that style, and hats off to him for that.
Kudos.
Hello, RMN. I am with Matui, creator of Pengui, the RMN featured game for the month of July, and I am also with Nasaya, who will be helping me in this interview. Hi, Nasaya.
Hi.
We'll just ask you a few questions on the creation of the game and maybe some future projects.
Sure thing.
Why don't we start off by asking you about your influences for the game, Pengui?
Probably, I'd say Pokemon. I always enjoyed that little ice cave part they had in that game.
Yeah.
I always thought it'd be a good idea just to have a game based on sliding around ice. Probably my only inspiration for that.
I played World 1, and it was mostly single floor kind of sliding around with some bridges, things like that. Is that how you created most of the game, or does it evolve as the game goes on to different forms?
It does. I try to introduce different elements as you go on in the game. In the second stage of the game, like, I do introduce pushable blocks.
Oh, okay.
And also sliding down slopes.
Every level you get an extra element to the puzzle.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool. Because I made it to the World 1 boss, and it was quite a challenge because there was a lot of old school kind of pattern recognition involved with the seals and stuff.
Exactly, and yeah.
Move in certain ways, so that was a nice challenge.
Matui, I was just wondering, this is like Mario plus Pokemon, because I was checking Tengui the other day, and I was like, this reminds me so much of Pokemon sliding puzzle plus Mario. Did you have some influences on this as well?
Yeah, I guess. I think the biggest narrow influence is probably the world map. It looks a lot like the world map found in Mario, so...
Yeah, with the nodes and kind of traveling between them, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's talk about the graphics a little bit. Did you customize any of the graphics, or did you do any, like, color swaps or rips or things like that?
Yeah, all the graphics in the game, I started them from scratch. They're all my own work.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, I was like, how many years did it take you, or... You know, so they just made the graphics. Like, did you have any revisions and stuff like that?
Not really. I did them all probably in one afternoon or so. Like, I dabbled in pixel art before. This was kind of my first attempt at trying to put together a whole cohesive chipset, I guess, of graphics.
I think it's a pretty cool chipset. I think it would work in the context of a full RPG as well. How long did it take you to actually make the game, and did you have any difficulties while you were making it?
Yeah, it took me a couple of years. Initially, it was just a side project, because I was working on an RPG. That was my main project, but I would always lose the motivation, so I figured if I created something like a puzzle game, it'd be a different kind of design focus. Whenever I felt like I couldn't work on my RPG for some reason, I'd work on this game here. I felt it used a different part of my brain, so...
Is it Dreamcatcher? I remember playing one of your R games, which is, like, your main project for years now. Is that the one?
Yeah, Dreamcatcher is my main project. That's the one I've been working on for close to probably a decade now.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's been in development for a while. Now, this project, have you ever considered taking a lot of the puzzle ideas from this and kind of porting them into mini-games or dungeons in your big RPGs?
Actually, yes, I did consider that. I haven't implemented yet, but that definitely was something I thought of.
Yeah, because I'm a big fan of ice sliding puzzles, as Nasaya knows, of course. So I really enjoyed it, and one thing I've noticed is that it's a very niche kind of puzzle game in that you have some people who like the ice sliding, some people who don't. Did you have a target audience in mind when you were creating it?
Not really. I really just created something that I would enjoy playing. I like the thought process behind the ice sliding puzzles.
Yeah, you really do have to think outside the box with ice sliding puzzles, because sometimes you have to slide off the ice entirely and take a different angle. And I like that kind of thinking as well. So I think you did a really good job with that, by the way, having to go around trees and things like that. And it definitely made me think.
Exactly. So, and then, later on in the game, I guess, spoiler alert, you meet a second penguin and you get to control both of them. And you get to swap in between both of them. So the idea behind that is you can, like, whenever you switch, the other penguin remains stationary. So basically you get to control your own block. So you get to position your, like, partner at strategic locations in order to reach certain points.
Oh, that's an awesome idea. So it really slowly immerses you into the full game. Like, every level gets a little harder, I've noticed.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, were there any times that you feel like you were going to give up on Pengui?
Yeah, like, after making dozens of ice sliding puzzles, after a while you get really sick of making them. So there were a couple of times where, like, I just couldn't open the game at all.
Yeah.
I was sick of it, but I forced my way through. The hardest part for me actually was doing the final boss. It took me a couple of weeks in order to come up with an idea to do it. It's probably easier than any other boss in the game, I'd say, just because I just wanted to finish it and get it over with.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to, you know, give it up and be like, oh, I just want to finish this game.
Exactly, yeah.
Finishing is a skill for sure.
Yeah. Did you ever consider about moving into other majors? Because as far as I can see, that Army Today team sometimes can be restricted.
I've considered it. I don't know if I will. I've been on RPG Maker 2003 for so long now that I don't know if I want to take the time to relearn a program.
I think your ideas would work pretty well on VX Ace with the region system if you ever want to get around to a remake. That's one program that it might work on, and it would be pretty easy to adapt. So let's talk about your main RPG some more. How close are you to finishing that one?
Probably a ways off. Like, I just released the first installment of it. I'm pretty much halfway through the second one.
Yeah.
All right, so do you have any other future projects in mind besides your flagship game?
Yeah, me and my younger niece, like, she's 12 years old, but she's really interested in designing games. She was actually one of my playtesters for both of my games. We are planning on creating another puzzle-type side project, this time involving robots.
Oh, so cool.
You might, wow.
And she's an artist herself, so I figured I'd let her do the artwork on that. So we'll see how that goes.
We need more mechas, definitely. Do you have any plan in mind, like a theme? I mean, thank you, it's a snow. Sorry, it's an ice sliding puzzle. How about this one?
The main puzzle concept of this one, I was thinking to have one robot in a factory that kind of becomes sentient, and for some reason or another, the other robots, they're not at the correct positions where they're supposed to be, or they're out of control. So I figured the main puzzle part of it would be you could sync up to other robots, and then you both move the same way. But usually you'd be like certain tiles apart, so whenever you moved up, another robot would move up too. So it would be kind of controlling two characters at once, but...
Oh, right. It's going to be hard to guess.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
All possible movements and how the puzzle will get stuck and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us back to Penguin for a second. The playtesting of that game must have been a challenge, because with ice sliding puzzles, when the more complex they get, the easier it is to get stuck.
Exactly.
Did you ever consider, I'm not sure if you have it later in the game, but like a resetter that brings you back to the start of the level in case you get stuck?
Yeah, there is. If you hold either shift, or I think it's escape, if you hit the escape key, you can always restart the level.
Oh, that's a great idea, yeah.
And you lose a life when you do that, but most of the times, I think I designed so there's no way for you to get stuck in an impossible position.
Yeah, because when I got to one part in which I thought I was stuck, I think it was on the second level, I was able to loop around to the leftmost side of the screen and get back to the first area. So what I thought was a mistake ended up being intentional, so that was pretty clever.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, so I guess our last question for you, do you have any advice for the community as a whole?
The biggest thing I've learned is it helps if you plan ahead. Instead of just jumping in and creating whatever, it helps if you have your own design document on the go to jot down things or plan on what you're going to do. And a lot of times... I think we all get into a rut of just trying to create. It helps sometimes to just take a break and do something else, go outside, read a book, do something else, and then come back when you're feeling fresh. So that's probably my biggest advice.
Well, that's definitely good advice.
Definitely. Because some of us tend to overwork with our games. So.
Exactly.
Yes, some of us.
I'm guilty of that too. Don't worry.
You're talking to two people here who have burned themselves out a few times in the past. All right, well, thank you very much for your time. We learned a lot about the design of the game and also a little insight into your future projects, so thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations on both the complete game and the featured spot.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, this is Deck Hiller and Nasaya signing out. We'll see you in the next podcast.